Feel good? Okay, thank you, Tzadik. Okay, so Bezras Hashem, we're continuing with Kimarachamam Yanagim, Torah Zion and Likutei Moran Tinyana. And we're starting off where we left off, Oshei. So just for a brief summary, to kind of bring us back on a very simple level to where we're holding, is that who is worthy of being the leader of the Jewish people? Somebody who knows how to be compassionate and to utilize their compassion in the right way. Because compassion without limitation becomes cruelty. Because you can give a four-year-old child food for an 100-year-old or an 80-year-old or whatever. And so we have to ensure that the leader knows how to utilize rachamim properly. Now, what is rachamim? Ultimately, rachamim is the capacity of enabling a human being to feel that the world is more stabilized and civilized than it actually is. Because without das, without knowledge, without kind of settledness, the world is a jungle. And not only is the world a jungle, but the person is an animal. Right? Without das, we're kibahemos nidmo. And therefore, the ikker thing that the tzaddik wants to do is the tzaddik wants to draw down das, which will then enable a person to be aware of Hashem's presence. And once I'm aware of Hashem's presence, the world becomes a hospitable place again. So the goal is to make the world a hospitable place. And the only way to make the world a hospitable place and not a terrifying jungle is the das of Hashem, the knowledge of God, the fact that God is above and below. And so therefore the tzaddik has rachamim and he wants to go around sharing this das that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down. That's what the tzaddik comes to reveal. And so then Rabbi Nachman goes on and he says, but in order for there to be an awakening of the tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the true compassionate one, who understood how sad it was when Klai Yisrael falls. So Rabbi Nachman asks, what awakens the tzaddik's motivations to reveal das to Bnei Yisrael in this world? What drives the tzaddik to want to remind Klai Yisrael that tzaddikim, don't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and below at the same time, and he's here with you, and the world is not a frightening place? What motivates the tzaddik is the appearance of Bnei Yisrael operating in a low place. Because when a Jew falls, and falls into chataim, and chataim are just symptoms of the loss of das. Only when a person loses their das, their inner centered focus on divine presence, are they liable to sin. Because the sin is just the symptomatic reaction of trying to mend a wound that feels unsolvable. Right? The wound is the absence of God. And in the absence of God, the self will try and fill itself with anything. It will fall into any type of chait in the hopes of filling that hole. Right? If I think that this is going to be what fills that God-sized hole, so then obviously, I'm going to go and try and do that. Now, Chazal tell us that Ein Adam Choyta Ela Im Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. That the only reason that a person is searching out for secondary solutions to their issues is because they've lost Das. And if you had Das, you would be aware of the fact that there is no hole, there is no deficiency, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right where you are. That's the Rachamim of the Tzaddik, to remind you that no, you don't need anything other than what's right in front of you, which is Elokus. That's what das enables a person to attach themselves to. And Rabbi Nachman goes into a heartbreakingly beautiful reminder of why it's so sad when a yid falls away from das. It's not so sad when you see people who don't know any better, who don't have the ability to know any better, when you see them playing around in the mud of this world. But for Rabbi Nachman, what is the saddest thing in the world is when a Jew forgets the source of their soul. The source of the soul is from the loftiest places imaginable. It's the original thought of creation. What motivates God's desire towards creation is Nishmas Yisrael. Yisrael Asher Becha Aspire. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to find grandeur and beauty, specifically within the behaviors of the Jewish people. And if we only knew where our soul actually came from, and the lofty source from which it came, and how we're so far from inequity, and how in truth we're so distant from forgetting about God, that when we forget about him, it's sad. And it evokes the compassion of the tzaddik. When the tzaddik sees people walking around in a world that feels so heavy and so concealed and so dark, and they're wandering around like animals in the jungle, what's sad for the tzaddik and what's sad for the shechina and what's sad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what's sad for each and every one of us when we watch ourselves operate this way, is that in truth we know that we are rooted in a place far higher than any of these small attempts to solve a solution. That we're rooted in the loftiest place of emuna. And we might not ever have access to that other than those brief moments of the emuna kolzos, where a person enters into a place of shivisi or tainug or joy. But even for a split second, when a Jewish person experiences faith in a true way or dveikus, so then anything else beyond that or beneath the number line is pathetic. It's sad, not pathetic in the sense of, you know, we're doing something wrong by being pathetic. We don't know any better. We find ourselves lost. And the tzaddik who has das sees this and he says, this is terrible. The Jewish people have to be reminded of how far they are from sin and how deeply connected they are to emuna at every single moment. That is what the tzaddik is coming to reveal, to ease the burden of this worldliness by through the relief of faith. That's what the tzaddik is offering. The medicine that the tzaddik is offering is a pharmacy of faith. And it's sad if there's people who are walking around suffering with profound symptoms, and there's a very simple over-the-counter medicine that's there to provide them with ease, faith, emuna, das. The fact that leman das kol amei ha'aretz ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. Each and every Jew has the ability to run up into that place. Whether every Jew can fabring and have lumdus about why it's ein od milvado and why yichud ilah is this and yichud tata is that, not every Jew enters into that space. But beyond all of the complications and the terms and conditions of Torah Sachasidus and Torah Sakabbalah rests a very simple truth, Einon Mavado, something that the youngest children, when they start to be educated about God, are informed about, that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And every Jew has the ability of running all the way back up to that place of pure calm and comfort. We all know that place. Sometimes we only know that place because we're running away from the outside world so quickly that it's the only place that we can find comfort in. So we sense that place of true faith as more of like an ir miklat, or in case of emergency, break glass. But in truth, even the slightest taste of it is enough to reveal to us that it's open to us and available to us at any moment. Das is the recognition that any moment that I so choose, I can leave Gehenim and enter into Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the rachamim of the tzaddik. And not only that, says Rabbi Nachman, but a tzaddik who's like Moshe, and then Rabbi Nachman suddenly says, each and every Jew is a tzaddik like Moshe and has the capacity to do this. It's our job to be the tzaddik to other people, to illuminate other people's worlds, to shine the light of godliness upon their circumstances. It's irrespective of where we're holding internally. Lubavitcher Rebbe taught very, very often that whether or not you can make it into the ir miklat to be protected doesn't mean that you can't stand outside of the ir miklat with a sign pointing to the direction of the ir miklat. That it doesn't mean that we have to be holding in a place of the healing power of Einon Mavado to be able to convey it to another person. We just have to believe in it. Doesn't mean we feel it, but we have to believe in it and convey that to another person. And that is the ability of drawing down the compassion, and it enables them to be civilized, to live a life of orderliness, neatness, to be a ben adam, to have hagdara. Right? Like we said, a person walks into a shul and there's garbage everywhere, or the chairs are scattered and everything is in disarray, a person can walk in and sense, where are the human beings here, right? Human beings have seder to themselves. Human beings clean up and they take care of what they need to take care of. And so to be a human being in this world is of utmost necessity, because otherwise, again, it's a terrifying jungle. And Rabbi Nachman adds that it's not enough for a tzaddik to come down and illuminate the world for a brief moment and say, well, here's your emunah. Now I'm going back up to Shamayim. Here's your light. Here's the light in your darkness. Now I'm going back up to the place beyond darkness. Rabbi Nachman says, no, that's not the point bichlal. The entire point of Moshe Rabbeinu was Klal Yisrael. Without Klal Yisrael, there was no Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem gave him the option. He said, let me get rid of them. Right? There was a table of three legs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It didn't pan out. Let's start something new. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, I've told you this time and time again. You can say anything to me except something bad about Klal Yisrael. Right? That was when Moshe Rabbeinu faced towards God and said, no, my limit is when you speak badly about Klal Yisrael. Because the tzaddik's job is to be merachim on Klal Yisrael. Because he understands the innermost desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is to have compassion on Klal Yisrael. That even though sometimes it's the concepts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which make us feel far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the only reason I feel bad is because I feel I've destroyed something. Hashem knows that, but he also sent the tzaddikim down into this world to remind us that we're fine even when we've broken something. The tzaddik knows the role. The tzaddik's job, the tzaddik can be connected to God at every moment. Right? But the tzaddik understands that his job is not that. The tzaddik's job is to come down from the mountain and reveal the light of God down below. And any moment that Hashem says, no, come back up to me, forget about the mission down there, Moshe Rabbeinu got very upset. It's like the Vilna Gaon on his deathbed, right? When all is said and done and he's getting ready to go into Olam Haba, the Gro is sobbing about the inability to do the mitzvah of tzitzis again. Because what a person can accomplish down here, in the thickness of it all, in this place that's devoid of das, is unimaginably greater than the pleasures that can be experienced up above. That's the Mesiras Nefesh of the Tzaddikim. So Rabbi Nachman says that, as Chazal teach us, that every person comes into this world not only to illuminate it, but to leave a lasting impression. To leave a lasting impression, a student or a child, to engrave their ideas in such a way that it has a lasting impact, so that the way that they illuminated the world can then continue to be illuminative. It's a hand-me-down. The light of Moshe Rabbeinu came down to the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came down to the light of the Arizal. The light of the Arizal split forth into four rivers, the Baal Shem Tov, the Gra, the Rashash, the Ramchal. And each tzaddik is holding a hand-me-down from previous generations. And that's what it means, that the tzaddik needs to leave a trace so that Bnei Yisrael can benefit from it. And we didn't get yet into the distinction between a son versus a student, other than briefly, but we'll get there in the Torah. Rabbi Nachman then adds that, just to double down, this is not just the nature of the tzaddik like Moshe and Klal Yisrael. This is each and every person in any relational circumstances that they find themselves in this world. When I'm talking to you, I'm being mashpia and you're being makabel. And when you're talking to me, you're being mashpia and I'm being makabel. And that you can have the terms and conditions of who's mashpia and who's makabel switch back and forth countless times during a real conversation. This is the secret of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish's chavrusa shaft, that the questioning and the answering was necessary because there has to be two sides to the relationship. When Rish Lakish was no longer available to ask those questions against Rav Yochanan, they brought chavrusas that would agree with Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan said, I don't want this, bichlal, because the relationship is mashpia and makabel. Mashpia and makabel. And so that's what we're up to. Zak the Heiliger Rebbe. Amnan Misha Rotze Ledaber im Chaviro Birashamayim. So, okay, let's take on this role of being the tzaddik, of wanting to be merachim on Klal Yisrael and sharing the light with our friends and our family members. Is it as simple as just speaking? It's not. Hutzarech shiyi lo yirashamayim, kidei shiyu devarev nishmayim etzel chaviro, kmo sha'amru rabosenu zechornam lebracha, kol mi shiyesh bo yirashamayim devarev nishmayim. So Rabbi Nachman says that it's not enough to just parrot words. The person wants to have an influence on another person in a positive spiritual way. They have to speak from the place that they're holding. In order to have your words heard, in order for your words to be heard and received, they have to be emergent from a place of Yirat Shamayim. They have to come from a place in which a person is holding. Yirat Shamayim doesn't just mean I'm afraid of God, and I know the punishments of God more than you do, and therefore you should hear my words. Yirat Shamayim means that the person has a relationship with Shamayim, a relationship of awe, a relationship of such importance that the words of the tzaddikim and the words of the Torah actually mean something to that person. Right? When the words mean something to a person, and that person is able to cultivate a vulnerable relationship with those words of Torah through Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is a kli. It's a kli like an otzer. It means emptying oneself out. If a person is able to empty themselves out with fear, an awareness of godliness, and then the words of Torah have the ability to engrave themselves upon a person's heart so that they're engraved and that they draw forth from the experience that that person has, and that experience gets enmeshed within the words, then they can share those words back. Then those words are going to be heard. If a person is able to truly cultivate a relationship with the words of Torah, with the ideas of Yirat Shamayim, because they've lived it and they're vulnerably cultivating a relationship with those ideas on a regular basis, those are the words that are going to be received by other people. If you speak your words from an empty place, or if the words are simply words upon a page, and it doesn't make a difference whether you're learning Likutei Moran or Kedushas Levi or the Gra, if a person hasn't respected the tzaddikim enough to understand the difference between one tzaddik's revelation and another tzaddik's revelation, and they just happen to be reading whatever they're reading, for example, out of hobby, so those words are not going to penetrate into the ears of the other individual to the degree that it's going to create a shift in their orientation towards the world. They'll hear it, the words will come in through their ears, right? But it won't settle. The ears are meant to lead down towards the heart. The heart is dependent upon the ears. And so only words that are engraved within a speaker to such a degree that they've truly lived with them, and they've become familiar with the healing salve of the words, when that person shares the Torah, so then other people are going to have their ears open. For example, if I could give a shiur, a cheap trick is starting off with talking about the human condition. Right? You could talk about anxiety, how people are bothered, how people struggle, how people are wandering, how people don't know their way about them. And then suddenly you notice that everybody is listening. Why? Because I'm familiar with that place in myself, and it's a human condition. So when you speak from that place, other people are going to recognize, oh, I have that place within me as well. But if the words are just empty and external, so they'll go in one ear and out the other because they're just information. There's two stages of information. There's information which is just the download of content, and then there's information that becomes das, that becomes an inner knowing. And the word information, in fact, carries the second kind of definition. It's a stage of formation. The information is forming the individual's outlook to the degree that the words of Torah that I learn become my psyche for the day. They become my defense mechanisms for the day. And so when a person wants to share Torah or wants to share any light with another person, they have to first and foremost ensure that they're speaking from a place of Yirat Shemayim, that they believe in the words, that they live by the words, that they know how desperately they need those words. And only then are the words going to be revealed. So if a person wants to speak, like Chazal said, Kol mi sheyesh bo yirat shamayim, devarav nishmayim. Right? Game knows game. If you're speaking from a place of vulnerability, another person's ears are going to pick up. Nobody wants to be indoctrinated. Nobody even wants to be taught necessarily. People want to feel seen. The work of the tzaddikim in our generation, the Torah of the tzaddikim, is to reveal to us that the tzaddikim of old saw us. They saw what we would be going through. They knew what we would be going through. Somehow, some way, it's impossible to know how, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed some sort of time machine reality with the tzaddikim that they knew what we would be going through. And because they knew what we would be going through, so their words speak to us deeply. Nobody wants to be lectured at. Nobody wants to become smarter. Information is cheap nowadays, right? History, we've gotten to the point of history where information has actually become cheap, right? You can have a machine summarize the entirety of Likutei Maharan in 5 minutes. You can have a listing and a clarified listing. Now, that is not going to shift a person's experience. That's not going to fill a person with das that reminds them that, oh, there's a God in the world, right? It has to be rooted in Yirat Shamayim. And that's why the more information is available, the more fundamentally necessary it is that those who are being mashpia, and whenever we are being mashpia to others in the world, it has to be done through a secondary lens of experience, not just wisdom, but knowledge, an inner knowing that's far greater than the information. The gam kedei sheyet kaimu devarav etzel chaveiro, ki lepa'amim medaber echad im chaveiro, v'tekef umiyad oyver v'hoyle chadibor melev chaveiro ve'eno metkayim etzlo klal. Even if someone happens to be listening to your words that are not spoken with Yirat Shamayim and they hear you, because they're in a vulnerable enough position to want to hear those words of Torah, they're not going to last, because the way in which words are conveyed, the way in which teachings are shared, have an impact on the information that's being conveyed. A person can learn a halacha from a person who's just reading it after, you know, a minyan, and it goes in one ear out the other. Or a person can have heard a halacha from their grandfather when they spoke to them about a particular minhag, and that's seared within the heart of the individual. Now, they were sharing the same information, right? They were conveying the same piece of information. One was just b'derech ma'avar ba'alma, right? A quick review of the words. And one was rooted in a place of inner experience. And so in order to ensure that the words are going to last and have a lasting impact, and that they could be remembered, meaning they could be recalled, meaning they could be relied upon when the person, even if they're no longer functioning in that original place, they can still call upon that knowledge. That's only when the words are spoken with Yirat Shamayim. If not, the words might settle for a second, but they're not going to last long. They're going to go from the ear to the heart and then out again. Al kein sarach laze yirat shamayim. Therefore, a person needs to cultivate yirat shamayim. Ki mi shiyiras chato kodemet l'chachmaso, chachmaso mitkayemet. Hainu, sheyesh kiyum ledvarav eitzel chaveru. So Rabbeinu is reading the Divrei Chazal, that if your yiras chait is kodem your Torah, then your Torah is going to be mitkayim. And we generally read that as if a person has yirat chait, then the Torah that they learn is going to have a kiyum within their own lives. But Rabbeinu, in only the way that he does, he's misreading it deliberately, and he's saying that no, if you have yirat chait kodem your Torah, then your Torah will be mitkayim. How is your Torah going to be mitkayim? It's going to be engraved within the hearts of those who are listening to you. It's going to have a lasting impact on others, because that's the only purpose of the Torah. The purpose of the Torah is meant to be light. The purpose of a person sharing Torah is meant to shed light in the darkness of the world. That's the only purpose. La'ha'ir es ha'dvarim. Pasach picha v'ya'iru dvarecha, they would say in the Zohar HaKadosh. And in Shas. That divrei Torah ein makablim tuma. Open up your mouth and illuminate the worlds. Right? That's the goal. The Torah is melashon or. At this point, in the darkness of this worldliness, in the place that's so far from the true place that Nishmas Yisrael comes from, the Torah of the Tzaddikim has to be a compassionate Torah that leaves a Yid who hears it with a deep sense of compassion and love from God. That, and how does that happen? When do I feel the absence of the compassion of God? When I feel that I'm far from God. When I feel that I've messed up. When I feel that I've cut myself off. When I feel that I've distanced myself. And therefore, really, the only thing that Tzaddik is coming to teach is that you didn't distance yourself. He's everywhere. And that's where the compassion is going to come in. Nimtza, kimisha rotze lahachnis das bechavero, hu tzarech shehiye lo yir shamayim, kedei shehiye dvarav nishmayim, u kedei shehiye tkaimu dvarav. The person speaking has to have an element of yirat shamayim in order for their words to be heard, and in order for their words to be maintained. Now we spoke about earlier how a person doesn't necessarily need to be holding in the place that they're speaking about. Right? I can tell a person who comes to me and is struggling with a certain element, and there's no external solution to that element, and therefore really the only thing to tell that person is that Einon Milvado, that a person has to enter into the Yichud Ilah, which is the Trufa for all things. That's the light of Yosef HaTzadik, to run up into Einon Milvado. A person doesn't have to be holding in that place, right? A person doesn't have to be living with the conscious awareness of Einon Milvado in that moment, in order for their words, Einon Mavado, to be received from the other person. They just need to have Yirat Shemayim. Yirat Shemayim doesn't mean that I'm operating on all cylinders at every moment. Yirat Shemayim is a kli that's machzik bracha. Yirat Shemayim is an awareness that there is something that grounds the significance of every word of Torah, and it makes it very serious, because it's rooted in Das Elokim, it's rooted in the knowledge of God. And God is a serious thing. How we're able to identify God, relate to God, know God, be close to God, be far from God, those are all secondary. But the concept of God in general, the awareness of God, Yirat Shemayim is a heavy, sobering thing. It makes the world less frightening than it is. It reveals to a person that what I see is not all that there is. That's where a person has to be speaking from. I don't have to be illuminated in Dveikus to be able to say Einon Mavado for those words to penetrate. Adrab, a person has to know in their minds that once upon a time these words worked for me, and because these words worked for me once upon a time, and still somehow they're having an impact, even though I don't know where and I don't know how, that gives me the strength as a mashpia to be mashpia those words with feverish fire of Yirat Shemayim. And that's where the engraving is going to be. So it doesn't mean that a person has to be holding exactly where they are speaking from. Right? Otherwise, who can ever open their mouths? Tzadikim. Tzaddikim can open their mouths, but anyone else teaching Torah can't. Or I can't, I wouldn't be able to. Elama, Yirat Shemayim is a roshem, it's a trace of seriousness. Even if I don't feel serious right now, I know there's a seriousness somewhere here, and that gives me the strength to be able to convey those words with seriousness. So that the person hearing those words knows that these words are coming from a place of belief in the words. A true belief in the words, a true belief that the words, Einon Levado, Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tata, Hashem, Shem Havaya, that these mean something, that Emunah means something in a very significant way. And so that's going to be where the import comes from. V'zehu asher ein chalifos lamo v'lo yiru elokim. And so this, in a remarkable way, Rabbi Nachman is finishing up the pasuk. We said asher ein chalifos lamo means that this is a person who has no replacement. That means that they don't have a child or a son. And so says Rabbi Nachman, in order to ensure that there is a replacement, that even when the tzaddik goes back up, their words can remain down below, so they have to have chalifos. They have to have a son or a talmud. And that's what Rabbi Nachman said, is that chalifos is Rosh Tevos, pi yedaber chachmos v'hagos libi tfunos, right? That chalifos are words that are spoken with wisdom from a heart that has contemplated the matters. That's where the words are going to be deeply engraved. But how does the pasuk end? V'lo yiru elokim. So the pasuk is saying, who is it that's not going to have chalifin? Who is it that's going to share Torah, share wisdom, share insight, but it's not going to have an impact, and it's not going to impress upon the listeners the truth and the veracity of those ideas? It's a person, v'lo yiru elokim. If you don't have yirat shamayim, and you're sharing Torah, then the words are not going to have chalifin. It's not going to have a Ben or a Talmud. It's not going to have a place of engraving. It's not going to leave a lasting impression upon the person who has heard it or the room in which it was said. Hainu kishain nishar daiso acharav ayyadei ben o Talmud. If a person's words are not remaining down below, and they haven't been able to find a Ben or a Talmud for their words to find grounding, and their words are just kind of scattered and they're not doing anything. So the reason for that, which is the aspect of chalifos, the reason for that, zeh simen shelo yireh elokim, that they're not speaking from a place of authenticity. They're not speaking from a place of lived experience. That's what Yireh Shamayim is, authenticity. A seriousness when we come to terms with the fact that, yes, Hashem, I know you exist. Have I seen you in my life? No. Do I believe in you? Yes. Do I always know how to activate that belief in you? No. Do I know what bitachon is? Sure. Do I know how to do it? No. Right? It's calling a spade a spade. It's being serious with Hashem. I have Yireh Shamayim, Hashem. We have Yireh Shamayim. We've proven that over and over and over. We have Yireh Shamayim. And therefore, the words are going to be lasting. But the person who doesn't take the words seriously, or person who studies these ideas from an external perspective without a seriousness being given to them, right? And the whole field of academia removed from the spiritual heart of religious experience, it becomes a real problem. You can have people who are bekiyim in all of these ideas, but v'lo yir elokim, it's not speaking to the place that's going to leave a lasting impression. Because it's only through the yira that authentic awareness of divine presence, in spite of the fact that I might not be actively aware of it in this moment, and the vulnerability that I have with that, that's going to ensure that the words are lasting. So here Rabbi Nachman is ensuring that every side of any spiritual relationship understands that its role is fundamentally significant. We're never losing out in spiritual expression. No matter what position we're holding in the relationship, if I'm being mashpia to somebody in order to give them das, so then theoretically the mashpia in that moment is doing something totally selfless. They're not doing anything for themselves. If the mashpia is, you know, getting kavod out of the hashpa, then they shouldn't be a mashpia, right? So it's not about the kavod or the taiva that's in sharing words. And so it seems that the main purpose in sharing Torah is to illuminate other people, and that Moshe Rabbeinu's whole job was for Klal Yisrael. But what does that say about the tzaddik? What does that tell us about the higher parts of self, which are speaking to the lower parts of self, always reminding them that they're still with God? Is the entire purpose of my best self to only speak to my worst self? What benefit is there for the best self? And so here Rabbi Nachman is introducing us to a fundamental topic, which is the topic of Pinimi and Makif, an inner light and a surrounding light. Now, very briefly, and without going into the dynamics behind it or the terms and conditions behind it, you can have a cup that's filled with a certain amount of liquid. And the liquid within the cup is the panimi, right? There's an interiority to the kli. There's an inside to the vessel that makes it a vessel. And that which fills the vessel, that which can fit inside of the vessel without overflowing, is going to be considered something that is pinimi. It's integrated, right? The liquid is integrated with the cup. It's being held by the cup, it's not falling out of the cup, and it has a rightful resting place within the cup, and there's a vessel and there's content. But if I were to continue to pour tea into this cup, and the tea began to overflow, so that overflow would still be the liquid from within the cup, but there would be no place for it to be held. It would be surrounding the cup, overflowing the edge of the cup, because it would be something that surrounds it but doesn't enter into the cup. Something that has a relationship with the cup because it's overflowing the cup, but its relationship with the cup is one of distance. Right? The panimi's relationship with the vessel is that it is inside of it. The makif, which means surrounding, its relationship with the vessel is that it surrounds it, but it does not yet enter into it. Everybody with me on this so far? There's content in the cup, that's the panimi, and there's the excess content outside of the cup, and that's the makif. And so it would seem that there's no room for the water outside of the cup to enter into the cup. There's panimi, there's light that remains on the inside, and then there's light that doesn't even enter into the conversation. A makif is the light that enters into the conversation, it's just not yet in the vessel. It's related to the vessel by way of a distance. There's relating to the vessel by way of being inside of the vessel, and there's a way of relating to the vessel by being outside of the vessel. The fact that it's outside of the vessel, even though it's not inside of the vessel, it still means it has a relationship with the vessel, because we're saying it's outside of the vessel. The determinant factor is that it's outside of the vessel, meaning that it's hovering above, it's shaykh to the vessel, but it's not yet inside the vessel. Now, to get to what Rabbi Nachman is saying, let's go to one more metaphor, one more mashal. And this is not so much a mashal, but let's say the mind is capable of grasping a certain amount of information. But there's a horizon to what my mind is capable of grasping. Right? There's the possibility of things in my life. There's things that are possible. The things that are possible are panimi. They're interior. They're things that I can think. They're things that I know. They're also the limit of my knowledge. Because if it's interior, then anything that's outside of it is not contained. And so the limit of what I know and the sum total of what I know is the panimi. But in addition to the sum total of what I know, there's always also an element of spirituality and information that hovers above the mind of the individual. The unknown knowns. There's a known that I know, and then there's an unknown known. There's things that I don't even know that I know. I think about them by way of a distance. I contemplate them. I might dream of them. I might have a ratzon and a hishtokukus to get to those levels. But in the end of the day, they're not the levels that I function with on a regular basis. The makif is those lights that surround me, those spiritual lights that surround me, that I don't necessarily have shaychus to yet, but I'm also not distant from them. They're there, but my relationship with them is that they just hover beyond consciousness. You guys with me so far? And so what happens is that because of the endlessness of knowledge and the endlessness of light and the endlessness of the neshama, every time we integrate something and we begin to feel that, okay, I have a panimi, I know what I know what I am, I know who I am, I know what I'm capable of, and there are those ideas above me that I know I'm not capable of and I don't have shaychus to and I'm not connected to them and they're just distant dreams. The only reason those dreams can't enter into the vessel is because the vessel is filled. The vessel is saturated with the panimi. And therefore the makif has nowhere to go. But once I get rid of some of the panimi and I make more space in the vessel, so then that which was a moment before non-integrated and information far beyond my capacity of grasp or a level of faith that I didn't think I would be able to have, suddenly becomes a real possibility. Because every time someone is mashpia something, they're sharing part of their panimi light, that which is integrated within them, that which they know, that which they have yirshamayim, that's what they have access to. And that's what we give over to others. That's what we share with another person. But don't think, says Rabbi Nachman, that you're sharing and you're emptying yourself out. Every time you share a little bit, the little bit more that was just above the surface of your mind enters into the mind. And now you have new awareness that a moment before was impossible to have. New information has come to light. Hitherto unrevealed information now descends down and finds a receptacle within the mind, and I come to realize that which was impossible a moment before is now possible. The makif, the pnimi, that which is integrated, that's what's possible, that's possibility. That's what I'm capable of, what the world is capable of, what others are capable of. And everything beyond that feels like an impossibility. Now, the fact that I'm saying it's impossible means that I have a relationship with it enough to know that it's impossible. That's why it's a makif. But my only relationship to that which is impossible is a yearning or a sighing or a sadness or a despondency, but it's not a real kind of understanding. I just know it by way of a distance. And then suddenly something happens and that information comes down. And new information comes to light and new light comes down and it reshapes the entire framework of a person's experience. Now, for the Mukubalim and what Rabbi Nachman is going to explain as well, this is an endless process. Endless, endless, endless. There's no end to this. Why? Because the light that we're drawing down is the light of godliness, the light of infinitude. And there's absolutely no limit to infinitude. The infinite is infinite. So what makes the infinite graspable is that we have drawn him down into the vessel of our mind, our chachma, our bina, and our das. And that's integrated wisdom. That's what I know. That's what's possible. That's what's manageable. And that's what's workable. And that's what I can call upon in moments of need. But the truth of the matter is that every time I feel that I'm filled and complete, I have to let go a little bit and draw down a new awareness, a new makif, a new level of keser, a new level of wow, a radical amazement of, oh my God, the whole world looks totally different now. Rabbi Nachman said that when he would go to be mizboided, he would leave the world and he would come back and the world was entirely different. Because when a person is in his body, they're drawing down makif into themselves, which is the lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachal. I empty myself out, and I'm drawing down wisdom from above. And so when a person comes back and you've drawn a little bit more light into your mind, even the slightest amount, the slightest inch of newness that enters into a system that feels terribly old, is enough to shed light on the entire system, and I see everything in a new light. That's the power of drawing a makif down, ad infinitum. I'm in this room, that ceiling is the makif. I get up to the ceiling, I integrate that makif, and then I realize that there's more makif, and ad ein sof. Person has to be growing each and every day in their awareness and their knowledge of, wow, I've learned something new today, Hashem. I know that you're here in this place as well now. That's generally the knowledge that we come to be aware of. The truest knowledge is Yiras Hashem, which is Emunah. And what's Emunah and Yiras Hashem? It's, oh my God, here, you're here also, Hashem? You're here with me also in this place? I have the capability of getting through this thing. Every moment that a person overcomes something they felt that they couldn't overcome, that's revealing a makif within the panimi, revealing the impossible within the possible, and suddenly the infinite drips a little bit more down into the finite and it expands it entirely. Unless we suspect that we've perfected ourselves, we're never going to run into that problem because tachlis hayadia sholeneda, there's always levels of unknowability beyond me. Whatever I integrate, there's another level of unknown that appears. Not because I'm not smart enough, but because God is infinite.
Wait, what are we saying specifically is allowing us to empty out?
Sharing that light. Sharing that light, or really kind of grasping it, integrating it, and living with it, then allows it to become a habit. Right? Or if a person dwells enough on bitachon, and a person kind of really learns chovasa levavos enough on bitachon, to the degree that they begin to operate in accordance with some of those principles, so that prior surrounding idea has now gone through the process of the mind and thinking and the original chachma burst of wisdom, the processing and drawing it down, and then once it gets integrated and it becomes something like the netzachot and yesod, something that's habit, I don't have to wake up every day now thinking and trying to believe this idea again. So now I have room for a new download. So it's sharing it, or it's sharing it with ourselves. Right? But there has to be movement. There has to be a fluidity to the wisdom that moves through us.
Is there like some kind of liminal space between the emptying out and before the receiving the new, where it's just empty?
Bevadai, there's the hargasha. A person has to go through the arafel, kishamu elokim. That's the ma'avar. That's the nesira. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, and there's going to be a momentary moment of bewilderment, of not knowing. that all of the information that I based my entire perception of reality upon a moment ago has now undergone a shift because new information has come to light. And so the first encounter with that feeling is going to be one of dizziness or destabilization. And that it's in that place that a malik comes to attack. That's where the sveikos emerge. It's bein dar ledar, between generation and generation. One generation is pnimi, the next generation is makif. It's in between the two of them that a malik comes to attack with sveikos. And that's why a person has to be mitchaber on emuna. You have to be medaleg al harim. A person has to jump and throw themselves back into more faith in those moments. But let's see the words of Rabbeinu. Ayidei she'oiskim ledaber echad im chaveru lehachnis moidas v'yiras shamayim lehaamid tamidim. When a person is engaged in sharing their wisdom of godliness with another person for the sole purpose of being compassionate upon the other and filling them with das, and it's rooted in my yiras shamayim, which means that I want to have a lasting impact, ayidei ze nechnasim oires hamakifim. That through the sharing and the emptying out, the person merits to draw down the lights that were surrounding, the oiris ha-ma'kifim. Dahainu shazoiche lahavin uleida ma shelo hayamavin v'yodea mitrila. Now they are capable of understanding and knowing that which they were incapable of understanding and knowing a moment before. New information has come to light. Kimasha adam mevin umasig besichlo ze b'chinas panimi. Because that which a person is capable of grasping and integrating within their minds is in internalized light, the interior of the vessel. Ki ze ha-seichel nichnas l'toch sichlo. It's integrated. I live with this. This is a download. I've downloaded this already. This is how my operating system goes with this idea. Ava ma she'ein yachol lichanes b'soch sichlo. But that which is not yet capable of, that which has not yet entered into the mind, dahainu ma she'i efshar lo lahavin, that which cannot be understood, the things that I have no idea how to make my way around. Zebachinas makifim. This is the notion and the aspect of the surrounding light that is not yet integrated. But again, it's not beyond us. It's related to us by way of a distance. Why? Ki zeh hadavar makif svivo sichlo. It's surrounding my mind. It's surrounding my mind. I have a raw sense of it. I can intuate that it's something near me, but I have no ability to draw it down in any real and integral way. Ki efshar lo lahavin zos, because I can't understand it. It's an impossibility for me. It's a paradox. This piece of information that is beyond my operating system right now feels impossible to draw down into the operating system. Why? Machma shehu b'chinas makif etzlo. Because it is transcendent to me. This is beyond my capacity of operation right now. But kisha osek ledaber im b'nei adam. When a person engages in the work of speaking with human beings, in b'nei adam, it's amazing here, because the whole tachlis of sharing with another Jew is to transform them from a behema without das into a ben adam with das. But over here, Rabbi Nachman says that you have to speak to each person as a ben adam. And you have to remind the person that they're a ben adam. You're not talking to a person and saying, oh, you're an animal, I have to make you into a ben adam. The tzaddik speaks to the person directly as a ben adam. This is the secret of the turkey prince. You're a turkey? You're not a turkey. You're a person who thinks he's a turkey. That's fine. I'm also a person. I'm also a person who thinks they're a turkey. It doesn't mean I'm really a turkey, right? And so you have to speak to them as a ben adam. You have to see the good within them. You have to see that they're already shayach to das, that they're a ben adam. And you're machnis behem daiso. And you share your wisdom. You share your integrated, authentically earned wisdom of godliness with them, and the true, tried, and tested awareness of how well Emunah works. And each and every Yid is a Megillah of Emunah. Each and every Yid is a Megillah of the wondrous powers of Emunah. Each and every person sitting in this room has their own Megillah of how Emunah has expressed itself in places that they didn't think it was possible to express itself. Every Yid can teach this. And when a person is machnes their das into another person, nimsa shen nisrokein mocho mehasechel v'hadas shahayalo. The mind is emptied out. The mind has given itself over to somebody else. All of the confidence that I have in this idea, all of the intensity through which I can convey this idea has been given over to somebody else. And the giver over is left empty because they don't even know where they hold with that idea necessarily. And suddenly what happens is, through that hisroikinus, through that emptying out, there's the emergence of something new. Just like any time, there was Or Ein Sof that saturated the entire world, and then Hashem did a tzimtzum in order to draw down more Or Ein Sof, a different type of Or Ein Sof. It's the same exact thing that we're doing when we speak to our children, to our spouses, to our students, and to our friends. We're filling them with our light. They're an empty vessel. They're a chalal hapanui. They don't have das yet. So a person is mitzamsem themselves and they share their light with another person. And then for a brief moment, the person might think, oh my gosh, I'm empty. But the truth of the matter is, there's no emptiness ever. And all emptiness is just the preceding stage prior to the next stage of effulgence and unfolding light of a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Isn't it more appropriate to say that, I mean, considering if one was given Torah, you're not really emptying it out, you're not forgetting what you're saying, Chas v'Shalom, right? I mean, wouldn't it be more appropriate to say that you're actually, so to say, enlarging the vessel itself versus emptying?
Yes, and I think that me talmida yoter mikulam, in the method of teaching, in a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, I believe that that's true. That a Rebbe can teach the same idea over and over and over and over again, and each time, the more the student is capable of understanding it, the Rebbe is receiving a deeper level of understanding it. But over here, in the relationship of Dafka being machazik, another Yid, and avoidas Hashem, and really convincing, being convincing about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here right now, that intensity being conveyed to a student can sometimes leaves the mashpia wondering, like, where am I hold, like, what am I sharing? How did I just share that? Why, what gave me the ability to share that? How do I believe in this idea? What's my relationship to this idea? And there's a certain reorientation that has to happen once a person has really given their product over, that now you have like a fresh kitchen and you have to make something new. Does that make sense?
Isn't that when you enlarge
the nuance
space,
in the thing you just said, and you wouldn't have been able to capture that nuance had you not just said the shot version of that one?
I hear what you're saying, but here I think it's like it's life-saving here.
Yeah.
And when a person, like when a Hatzalah member goes out on a call, like a doctor is able to do what they do, right? Because the person comes into the doctor and there's order there and it's known. But a Hatzalah member goes out, and what they're doing is they're trying to save a person on the ground, and it's going to be exhausting for them to convince that person that they can live and to really call upon reserves that the person themselves didn't even know that they had. And then suddenly something new is coming in.
When you have that sense of enlargement or expansiveness, by definition, you're creating a new chalal hapanui.
Right, that's true also. Meaning every expansion of space within the mind of the giver is ultimately, at first glance, going to appear as an emptiness. That emptiness
is
the preparatory stage, right?
Two sides of the same
Very good. Right, you're saying it's a simsum. It's operating in the same simsum. Every time that I'm mitzamsem for somebody else to share my light, so mamela, mida keneged mida, then the mind is being mitzamsem itself to receive more light from above. Nifla.
Is that only with Ben V'Talmid? Because it seems like this process has to occur when there's a certain emptying out and there's an external kli.
We haven't gotten that. Right now he's just saying Ladaber Echadim Chaveiro.
Seems like all Mashbiyam a couple relationship. Like
it's always in Mashbiyam.
This is a true dynamism
in every relationship.
So Rabbi was saying before that this chol can also exist even within oneself.
This exists within oneself as well.
So
every Torah exists within oneself.
Ben V'Talmid turns it over.
So we'll get to the Ben V'Talmid. But the Ben and the Talmud, every person has an inner child and every person has a younger student in themselves that has to be taught. Right? The mind is perpetually teaching its younger self and perpetually reorienting itself and being machnis the Yemei Ra back into the Yemei Tov and remembering how somehow, somewhere in my entire narrative is filled with the light of God, even though I didn't know it then. Right, so a person is always being mashpia down to themselves as well. Just to finish up this paragraph, Chavra. Ki'al yedei shenisroikein sichlo al yedei shehichnis daiso b'chaveiro, that once a person has emptied their mind by way of giving over their mind to a friend, al yedei zeh nichnas hamakif lifnim. Now that which was surrounding their mind and inaccessible to them a moment before and beyond their graspability now has a place to enter in. The light is always searching for a place to enter in. All it's waiting for is an empty vessel. The moment the empty vessel appears, the light descends down immediately. A person doesn't have to go out searching for light. The light is always already there, waiting to be revealed. More often than not, the secret necessary to bring the light is hisrokenus, is emptying oneself out of preconceived notions, emptying oneself out of their own narrative desires and demands and egoistic kind of orientation to the world, and turning to God and saying, I don't know, it's up to you right now. And in that place, once a person has been misroiken themselves, emptied themselves out, they throw the moichin away, There's a new wisdom that comes down. And they merit suddenly to understand the seichel that was beyond their mind a moment before. That which was hitherto impossible for me to grasp is suddenly revealed as very possible. We're going to see more and more. We're going to pause here on the Torah, but what Rabbeinu is revealing to us is what all the tzaddikim are revealing to us. And the fundamental lumdus here is that what appears to be impossible and fundamentally limited is only a matter of orientation towards how I'm learning that there's always room for more. There's always room for more light to come down. Endless light to come down. This is Rabbi Nachman's mashal of the treasure always being underneath the bridge. That the treasure is in the person's house. The person goes from their house because they dream that the treasure is underneath the bridge far away. And they sacrifice themselves to get there until this Russian soldier says, "You idiot, I've also had a dream the past 3 nights that underneath your decrepit little house and your decrepit little forest is the very treasure you're claiming is there." And he goes back to his house and he sees that the treasure was right there. The makif is always waiting to be revealed within. Chatzker Rebbe, it was the art side of his Talmud Mufak, was the art side of the Meishiloach, and the Chatzker Rebbe says that Vayu Hadvarim Alivavecha, and these words should be upon your heart. And so theoretically, the Chatzker Rebbe said, the words should be inside the heart. What value is there of words being stacked upon the heart? So the Chatzker said that in spite of the fact that the heart is closed more often than not, if you stack information and love and wisdom on top of that closed heart, eventually when the heart does open up, it's all going to fall in immediately. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zoicha to draw makifim into pnimim over and over and over. Be'ezras Hashem.